Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones, sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered who killed Kennedy? Now tell me, do you remember where you were when you heard that Kennedy had been killed? Who do you think did it? Would you believe it happened on November 22nd, 1963, exactly 48 years ago today, and people are still asking who did it? Now, would you like to hear about a theory that will shock you, but probably will make more sense than anything you have ever heard before regarding the Kennedy assassination? Would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest and co-host for today's show, who is a success coach extraordinaire. But before I introduce you to my co-host, I would love to invite you to call in. The call-in number is 818-431-8506 with any questions that you may have for us during this interview. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my co-host. He is a successful journalist with an ever-popular blog on Chicago Now called The Life and Times of a Young Republican. The blog features talk about political commentary, celebrity gossip, including exclusive stories that he himself has broken based on unique sources, interviews with celebrities, including January Jones, yours truly, as well as book, movie, and television reviews and critiques. His writing, while once being described as snarky and vicious, has also been described as beautiful and lyrical and impeccably researched. His recent theory on the life of opera singer Maria Callas has gained traction with many leading scholars. He is currently studying musicology, voice performance, and journalism at College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. In addition to his writing ventures, he is also training to be an opera singer and an actor. He has recently appeared in productions of Neil Simon's The Odd Couple and Woody Allen's Don't Drink the Water, as well as maintaining a hectic schedule of singing with three separate choirs and performing in voice recitals, all to great acclaim. He has performed startlingly variety of music from Baroque opera to Stephen Sondheim show tunes and everything in between. My co-host is a conservative Republican. He is a member of the Tea Party, and he is currently campaigning for Michelle Bachmann for president in 2012. It is with great pleasure that I am happy to introduce Steve Krage. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Hello, January. I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I've been so looking forward to this interview. I want our listeners to know that we did this interview with, we did it originally for your Chicago Now blog, didn't we?
Yes, we did, and that's how we met.
I know.
Blog.
That was quite a while ago, and since then you've come on with SuccessMo.com. You're a success coach, and you have learning articles posted with us. So today we're going to talk about the Kennedy assassination that
yes,
took place 48 years ago. Now, I know you weren't even born when it took place, but yet you've been interested in this topic. What brought you to this topic?
Well, I think anybody my age has looked, who has been studying history even in school, has learned about JFK and the JFK assassination. And I think people, even my age, are so fascinated by the facts about it and about mm-hmm. Jackie Kennedy and all, the whole family. We have been following it all our young lives, even mm-hmm. someone as young as I. So it's something that's always been with us and kind of eluded us because there's not really much known that about true facts about what's happened in the Kennedy family. So we're mm-hmm. kind of peaked, our curiosity is kind of peaked when we hear about them, as it was with me.
Right. You know, it's like unfinished business for not only my generation, Steve, but for the entire country and the entire world, for that matter.
Yes.
Why don't we go to the format where you would ask me the questions that we did for the Chicago blog interview?
Okay. That sounds perfect. I'll start with my first question, which was, when you were younger, what were your first memories of Jackie Kennedy?
Okay. All right. This goes back. Now, this is, I'm really going to be dating myself. My first memories of Jackie Kennedy go back to my senior year in high school. I went to an all-girls school called Immaculata High School in Detroit, Michigan. And I was a senior. It was 1960. Couldn't vote yet. You had to be 21 then to vote, but we were all crazy about Jack Kennedy. And even though we couldn't vote, we campaigned for him. As for Jackie, she was our idol. We thought that they were the perfect couple, and when they won the election, all our dreams became realities.
Now, did you yourself ever try to emulate her as a youngster, or did you know something was contrived about her persona even back then?
No, none of us knew anything about anything back then. Of course, I tried to emulate her. Everyone did. By 1963, I was a stewardess with Eastern Airlines, and I was living in New York. And I flew the shuttle back and forth from New York to Washington. And believe me, Jackie mania was in full force. We all tried to look like Jackie, dress like Jackie. We even tried to talk like Jackie.
It sounds like a disease.
Yeah, it was a disease. I read everything I could about our new first lady. And one time I even had Teddy Kennedy on my flight, and that was pretty exciting. Nothing seemed contrived to me about her because I idolized her, and she was perfect. This fascination with her continued even after JFK was killed. And then 1969, I became a widow. I was 25 years of age with two small children. My husband was a test pilot, and he was killed testing an Army helicopter during the Vietnam War. So once I was a widow, I really identified with her. You know, I had walked behind a flag-draped coffin, and I felt a close bond to her, and just like so many people in the country.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing that happened, so I could really see how you could connect with her. Did you closely follow the Kennedy clan as well, or was your fascination strictly focused on Jackie herself?
Oh, you know, they were everywhere. It was hard not to follow them. You know, they were involved in the Peace Corps and the Senate, and They were just like the first, it was like royalty for this country. We didn't have a royal family, and so they kind of fit the bill.
I think this next question, the question that I asked you, kind of came out of the blue, but the movie and documentary Grey Gardens has become very popular in the past. Even a few years with the Big Broadway musical they made out of it, and the movie with Drew Barrymore. So I asked you, have you ever seen the movie Grey Gardens? And if so, what is your opinion on it and the way it portrays Jackie as a negligent relative who ignores her family?
Yeah. I thought it was excellent, and I thought Drew Barrymore did a fantastic job as little Edie. She was marvelous. You know, watching that show, I loved it, but I sympathized with Jackie because, you know, these were very strange women.
Yeah, that's
and I kind of felt sorry for her having to put up with them.
So after that, I asked, for my readers, would you give a quick synopsis of your gigantic theory of Jackie Kennedy and Aristotle Onassis perpetrating a kill for hire on Jack Kennedy?
Oh, yeah. Wow. This is something. It's called the love triangle theory. And my theory that I created connects the dots and reveals the answer to the question, who had Kennedy killed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was the perfect crime of the last century. And when we look at it now in hindsight, it was a classic love triangle. Jackie actually laid it all out for the American public when she created the Camelot version of her husband's presidency. She did that with Teddy White, I think probably a month or so after the assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And when she created it, you know, Jack was the king, Arthur. She, of course, was Guinevere, our beloved queen. And as for Lancelot, you know, he didn't ride in on a white horse to rescue our queen. In this theory, Lancelot flew in on Olympic Airways and rescued Jackie Kennedy.
That's very true.
Now, my research showed that Aristotle Onassis had the money, the motive, and the means to commit the perfect crime at any time, anywhere, and to anyone. My books are all about a Greek tragedy with American heroes. And Steve, right now we're going to take a commercial break and hear from Successimo. We'll be right back.
Okay.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones with my co-host, Steve Craigie, the brilliant, talented author of Chicago Now blog. Steve, let's give that information for anyone who wants to follow your blog. How would they go about doing that?
The link is actually very easy. It's chicagonow.com/youngrepublican.
Okay. And anyone who's interested in my website, you go to www.januaryjones.com. And if you're interested in my book, you just need to go to amazon.com, and it's also available in Kindle form, and I'm thrilled to have that finally happen. Before the break, Steve, we were talking about a Greek tragedy with American heroes. Now, had you ever heard this theory from anyone before you ran into me?
Yeah, I actually had. Yes, I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Other than mine.
Can you repeat the question? Sorry, I didn't hear it.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't know if you had heard about the Greek tragedy and Aristotle Onassis connected to this prior to reading my book.
Oh, no. I've learned about Aristotle Onassis in the past. I've always seen him as kind of like a Greek villain sort of thing. I always kind of connected it to all the myths and that sort of thing because he was such an outlandish personality. So he kind of played in with that whole, and he really had a whole mythical aura about him, as did the Kennedys.
Yeah, you know, he was kind of, it was an interesting to research him. And I know you're doing research on Maria Callas, who was his mistress. And,
yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic to research. People often ask me how I came up with this theory. And, you know, it started a long time ago when a friend once said to me that, you know, if she had been Jackie, she would have had Jack knocked off. And so that kind of...
That's a rather brash thing to say.
Yeah, she was Italian. That kind of planted the seed, you know. That planted the seed. And then when I was doing all this reading, not yet writing a book, I was just reading, I discovered that Onassis was Jackie's guest in the White House during Jack Kennedy's funeral. And I knew there had to be more to it than just a good friendship, because prior to the assassination, Jack Kennedy and Onassis were enemies. Jack Kennedy had forbidden Onassis to even enter the country. And so here we have one man in a coffin in the East Room, and now we have his enemy in the guest room. And Onassis was the only person staying in the White House during that funeral who was not a family member. And that was a red flag for me. I just sensed that a soon-to-be second husband in such close proximity to the new widow, that was just suspicious. I just had a funny feeling about it.
When I was reading your book, I almost couldn't believe that he was in the White House right after JFK died. That was, like, when you said it was a red flag for you, it was a red flag for me when I was reading that, you know, this is something that actually happened with these two people, which is kind of funny.
And
but
you know,
how much research? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and since I wrote the book, I've also found out that when Onassis arrived at the White House, after the assassination, he asked to speak to the widow alone, and he was escorted to her quarters, and he and Jacqueline had a chance to talk to each other, and no one else was present for that conversation.
There's probably a bit of laughing and gloating going around in that room when that happened.
Well, you know, I think, really, she would have been in shell shock. And I think he would have been traumatized because it was a brutal assassination. And if my theory is correct, and if he had ordered the assassination, I'm sure he had no intention for it to be so brutalized and so close to her. My theory is that he would have hired the best assassins in the world, and I named them in my book. And interestingly enough, that's the same person that was named in the A&E five-part series, The Men Who Killed Kennedy. And I think that Onassis would have been appalled that she was in such danger, in such close proximity. I think he would have got to the White House, and he probably would have comforted her, and he probably would have said, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't imagine how this happened. It was just a matter of time. Your husband had so many enemies. You've got to forget it, put it behind you, and I'll do anything you need, and I'll help you through this horrible time. I think he would have been very comforting to her.
Yeah, because you have to be. You know, she was right next to him when he died. You see all the pictures of her, you know, cradling his head in her arms, and you, even though you know it might have been there might have been something behind it, it still brings a tear to your eye that she was right next to him when he died.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think when he hired the best assassins in the world, you know, he wouldn't be privy to how they were going to do it. He would have no connection to them. He was just the money man. And they probably didn't even know who hired them. He would have kept himself completely removed from it. When the assassination happened, he was in Hamburg, Germany, and they were christening one of his ships, the Olympic Chivalry, that day. And he immediately got on Olympic Airways and flew to Washington. So I think he was probably very upset that...
I think he would be, too.
Yeah, that she could have gotten killed.
Yeah, I was talking to my family about this theory earlier, and that's what they said. They said, you know, they were right next to each other. What if one little mishap, 1 second too late, and
mm-hmm.
the bullet would have hit her?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, people say to me, well, like, why, you know, I think it was brilliant that this assassination took place in Texas, because it happened in Texas, and when you look at who had the most to gain from this assassination? Well, quite obviously, it was Lyndon Johnson. He became president. And I think the brilliance of Onassis ordering this hit to take place in Texas is that from that point on, Lyndon Johnson became the subliminal villain in this scenario.
Yeah.
And I think even in her papers that have been opened, Jackie has kind of alluded to the fact that she didn't feel that comfortable about Lyndon Johnson. So I think that it was a brilliant, it was the perfect crime.
Yeah, but even through all of Lyndon Johnson swearing in, Jackie was always right next to him, that sort of thing. I'm sure she kind of resented having to stand there while another man was given her husband's old job, even though she was one of the people who decided that that's what should happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It must have been a very difficult time. And, you know, when you think about it, Stephen, she was only 32 years old.
So young.
Yeah, yeah. That's just amazing what she went through.
So my next question would be, how much research went into your two books on Jackie, and what are your opinions on research in general, i.e. finding reliable sources, using the internet for research, and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm still, you know, once you start on a topic like this, it becomes like an obsession.
It's so true.
And I felt, yeah, you're finding that out with Maria Callas, I'm sure.
Yeah, I said for my research for my Maria Callas theory, I've read in the past 2 months at least 12, 13 biographies of Maria Callas that I can all find. The scary thing is there are all different things that have been said about her, so you have to take these 5, 6, 7, even just dates for when she performed in an opera. I've had 8 different dates on one performance. So you have to look back and see, you know, what could possibly be the truth in all of that mess that's been created in her life, because there is so much myth associated with her, as are the Kennedys, that sort of thing.
Right. You know, I followed Jackie's life closely. Well, since 1960, when he was elected president, I've read everything about her. So I was researching her without knowing it long before I even thought of writing a book. I was a history major in college, and, you know, I love doing research like you do. My bibliography as a source has never been challenged. Everything I used had already been out there in the public domain. I just put the missing pieces to the puzzle together, and I came up with a new solution to this complex, very complex murder mystery. And I think it's probably one you've never heard before.
And that was kind of funny because when I just presented my Maria Callas paper, and even the people who didn't believe the theory, the thing that they had best to say about the paper was that, well, the sources are good, so we'll give you that.
Yeah, I've had the same experience. And when my first book, Oh No, Jackie O, which is out of print now, however, I guess some people can still get it at Amazon in the used book.
Yep, I just bought a copy myself.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
When we get off the air, I'm going to have to ask you how much you had to pay. You know, when it first came out, it was amazing because it was on the front of the National Enquirer. And wow, that really caught me off guard because I didn't expect that to happen. So that was pretty exciting. And like you, no one has ever, a lot of people haven't agreed with me, but they have all felt that my research has been quite on the money, so to speak.
And speaking of your bibliography, I was looking through it, and I saw an old friend of mine, Kitty Kelly. I've met her a couple of times.
Oh,
and
really?
I wanted to know. I met her at a book signing in 2010 after she published her book on Oprah. We've been in correspondence a little bit since then, but I've always admired her. In fact, I just gave a presentation about her and her life and her research and all that sort of thing. But I asked her in the interview because I want to know what your opinion of her book, her biography of Jackie O, called Jackie O! ! And used it as a source. And I wanted to know what your opinion of her work was.
Oh, well, you know, as for Kitty Kelly, quite frankly, I think she is a great researcher. And I feel that she's a fantastic writer. Let's face it, no one has ever been able to stop her from publishing her books, nor no one has ever sued her for libel. So, you know, that pretty much says it all. I think she is quite a force to be reckoned, and she and Christopher Anderson have both, they've done some fantastic writing on this topic. And also, you know, another writer that I recommend highly, and I talk about him in the back of my book, is Peter Evans. And he wrote Nemesis, and that was a book about Onassis. And Peter Evans is a British writer, and he had access to Onassis and the Onassis family and the Onassis Empire. And in his book, Nemesis, he conclusively proves, in my opinion, that Onassis money is what financed the Robert Kennedy assassination.
Yeah. And, I've actually read Peter Evans' book, The Nemesis, and I thought that it was kind of funny that prior to writing that, he was actually Onassis' official biographer. And he wrote a biography about Onassis, and then that was back, I think, in the 70s or 80s. And then when he wrote this book, he said, I'm going to use that, but I'm not under the reins of the Onassis family anymore, so I can write the truth about what happened.
And I thought it was just a fascinating book, and he still had access to the inner circle. He had access to the daughter and all the people in the empire. Also, when I was doing my research, I came across a book by Christian Karafakis, and he's a fellow that wrote an interesting book about Onassis, and he had worked on the ship, and he had sailed with the Christina for many years. Then he inherited quite a bit of money, and he went off on his own, and on his own, he wrote this book in Greece, and I was able to find a translation of it. And he talks he writes beautifully about the Onassis and Jacqueline Kennedy relationship. And he definitely talks about the fact that they had a relationship before the assassination, conclusively.
And that's a fascinating thing because there's not a lot written about their relationship together, you know, firsthand accounts of people who are actually there who saw all of this happening.
Uh-huh. I know. It's a fantastic book. Christian Karafarkas. You know, we're going to take another break, and we're going to hear about another book written by your host.
Lately, there's been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100 plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
This is January Jones and my co-host Steve Craigie welcoming you back to the second half of our interview about the 48th anniversary of the JFK assassination. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you like to learn more about the Kennedy assassination? Do you want to hear more about who I think ordered this assassination? Have you ever wondered who profited from JFK's death? Are you still waiting for an answer about this assassination that makes sense? Or better yet, would you like to hear more about Jackie Kennedy and Maria Callas, Onassis's mistress? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then I'd like to welcome you to the second half of our show today with my co-host, Steve Craigie. Now, Steve, let's talk a little bit about Aristotle, Onassis, and Maria Callas.
Yeah.
Tell me what your opinion is of them.
I thought that, well, when I came up with my opinion and my theories of Maria Callas, I had a lot of them connect to Aristotle Onassis and how the thing, how when he entered her life, he eventually ended up leading to her death, which is kind of an outlandish thing to say. But my theory of Maria Callas is that there are five mistakes that she made in her life that ultimately were stepping stones that tripped her into dying an early age in her the mid-50s.
Okay.
So her, when she had started her relationship with Aristotle Onassis, that was kind of the start of the real end of her life.
And what was the, could you briefly go over those five mistakes?
Yes, I outlined them in my my paper, which I have not yet published, but the first mistake is that she started early in her life, and her mother helped her so much in starting with her opera career. But as Maria Callas gained traction in her career, she kind of abandoned her mother because her mother was kind of cloying, was always next to her. But she, her mother was next to her trying to get her to succeed in everything that she wanted to do. So her first mistake was abandoning her mother, for, even though she did almost everything for her at an early age. The second mistake is that she, as an opera singer, I have a little bit of a special interest in this. So this mistake might not be so apparent to a lot of people, but this mistake is that in her early in her career, she sang opera roles that taxed her voice too much and that weren't suited for her voice. So when she went to go sing later after Aristotle and Onassis dumped her, her voice was literally in shreds, and she couldn't sing, really couldn't sing anymore. So while when she could have had a career to fall back on, she had nothing to fall back on, which ultimately mm-hmm. led to her despair at mm-hmm. being, you know, left by own assets, that sort of thing. And the third mistake is her husband, Giovanni Battista Mangini, was uh-huh. there nothing but to help her career. He was much older than her, so I think there was never so much as a physical attraction, but they really had a great relationship, a great working mm-hmm. relationship, which ultimately led to their marriage. But mm-hmm. when she met Onassis, she thought, well, I don't need to keep Mangini around anymore to help me, so she dumped him. And he actually mm-hmm. wrote a book about her, which is, I think, kind of funny. After she left her mother and that sort of thing, her mother wrote a book about it. And then she divorced her husband, Giovanni Battista Mangini, and he wrote a book about her.
Wow.
Which I think was kind of funny. And then this mistake leads to the next one. But this mistake wouldn't even be a mistake if she didn't make the last one, too. They kind of feed off of each other. But the fourth one is that the fact that she didn't marry Onassis when she could, because she had an intense, she actually had a baby by Onassis that didn't survive to be born.
Uh-huh.
But she really wanted to be a mother, and she really wanted to be a real wife like her mother was.
Mm-hmm.
But Onassis, he didn't really want her around. He was a collector of artifacts. I think that was you who said that in your book.
Mm-hmm.
That he had great friendships with Winston Churchill and that sort of thing. So Maria
right.
Callas was just another trophy on his shelf. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think he ever really wanted to marry her. And his children didn't like her they didn't like Jackie.
No.
And then the fifth and final mistake is that she never, and this kind of ties into your book, she never got over her feelings with Jackie Kennedy. She could have had a chance to go talk to her and
uh-huh.
talk about their feelings of what happened between them. And, you know, Jackie was married to Onassis at the time. So they could have had a real honest conversation instead of Maria just talking to the press and getting her anger out that way. But if she really would have talked to Jackie, they could have gotten over that. But these five mistakes added up, and eventually she died of what they say is a heart attack, but in my paper I say it was really just a broken heart.
And how old was she when she died?
I believe she was 54 when she died.
Wow, she was really young. Whew.
Yeah.
I can't wait till your paper is published, and then I'm going to be the biggest supporter when your book comes out. That's going to be fantastic. It's such a big topic. Aristotle Onassis was one of the most powerful, ruthless men to ever exist. People don't realize it, but he and Joe Kennedy spoke the same language. They spoke money, and they had been business associates from the 1930s. Kennedy was the head of the Maritime Commission, and his job was to sell these Liberty ships from the war to American corporations. And he turned around and sold some of those ships to Onassis, and that became the basis of his shipping empire. Onassis thought of himself as a Greek, and he connected himself to Greek mythology. No one else thought of him that way, but he thought he was a Greek god. And,
well, he had very lofty opinions of himself.
Oh, yes, yes. And until he married Jackie Kennedy, most people in high society and in the business world, they looked down on him as just another Greek shipping tycoon. But then
he was kind of a vulgar man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He wasn't a very refined person.
Yeah. And then after his marriage to Jackie, doors opened to him that previously had been closed. He was now dining with the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and he was functioning in the highest echelons of society, which, of course, was fantastic for his business.
Yeah.
Onassis was a collector of celebrities. As you mentioned earlier, Winston Churchill, he had all the jet setters. That was the jet set. That word was coined for all the celebrities who would travel all over the world to be wined and dined on his ship.
Yeah.
And Jackie was the crown jewel of his collection. I'd say Winston Churchill and Jacqueline Kennedy, those were the two people that he favored the most. He prior to marrying Jacqueline, he kept a very low profile. And most people didn't realize that he actually brokered World War II. He was one of the movers and shakers there. He provided oil, arms, and munitions to both sides during that war. And interestingly enough, Steve, not one of his ships or any of his men were ever harmed or in harm's danger. He was one of the people don't also know that he was one of the first drug lords way back in the Golden Triangle in Southeast Asia. He was transporting opium, heroin, and he was doing it on his ships all over the world. You know, during those times, ships weren't searched, and so his ships were welcome in every port. And he had negotiated drug transactions with all these different countries. And
he would have been even more popular today with all the, with the advent of drugs, that sort of thing. He would have been a king among men in this era.
Yeah, and he was. You know, like when Jackie married him, people said, well, how could she fall in love with him and how could she marry him? And, you know, I often tell people that, you know, when she looked at him, he was so powerful. And when he stood on top of all of his money, he was probably the handsomest man in the world. And now, you know, when you look at his relationships, he had all the famous actresses on his ship. And he had affairs with even Evita Perón of Argentina. He had affairs with women all over the world.
Well, I guess that's the ultimate form of plastic surgery. You put yourself on a big pile of money next to beautiful women. Anyone will think that you're a king or a god or something like that. So I guess that's what he wanted to obtain by doing all that.
Yeah. And, you know, you truly feel sorry for Maria Callas because I feel, I don't know what you think, but I feel she truly loved him.
Yeah, she, with all her heart, see, I don't think she loved anyone more than she loved Onassis. And, you know, listening to now to the extensive recordings that she made before she met him, you can hear her singing. It's beautiful, but you don't really hear true passion in her voice. But once you met him and you hear the recordings that were made after that, you really hear the love that she's translated from that, that relationship into her life, into her singing. So it's, I think it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even I saw many pictures after Onassis, and he wasn't happy with Jackie, and he would sneak off to spend time with Maria Callas.
Yes, which only got her hopes up and eventually just made her sadder at the fact that he was owned by someone else.
Well, they say that he wanted to divorce Jacqueline, but it didn't happen. I think he became so ill that he wasn't capable of doing it. And I think she would have been a very difficult woman to divorce.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, she would have made a public spectacle out of the whole thing, which I don't think, you know, when someone's dying, neither party wants to submit that on the other person.
Yeah, I know. And then let's talk about Jack Kennedy.
Yes, the man of the hour. We finally get to him.
Yeah, here it's 48 years later, and when we look at his presidency, he's one of the most famous presidents and revered, but the reality, Steve, is that his presidency was not that historical. It was not that great of a presidency. You know, he basically did whatever his father told him to do. The reality is the oldest son, Joe Kennedy, was destined to be president, and Jack never really wanted to be president. All he wanted to do was be a playboy. And you
that's
know,
why I kind of coined the term that JFK was our first pin-up president, because he was the first president that you could ever think of, you know, idolizing in that form.
That's delicious because it's so true. And, you know, the reality is Jack Kennedy, he never even wanted to be married. He was a pin-up playboy, and he got married because his father expected him to get married to a Catholic girl in order to become president. And, you know, the reality is once Jack and Jackie were married, It was pretty much for show. I kind of think about Princess Diana, you know, when she married Charles, and what she had such a rude awakening as to what their life was like. And
you're right about that. And Oh No, Jackie O, you get the first chapter with kind of comparing Princess Diana and Jackie and their husband.
Yeah. It was too tragic love triangles, because Charles had Camilla, and oh my gosh, it was so sad for all the parties. We're going to take another break and hear from our sponsor, and I'll be right back with my co-host, Steve Cragen.
Let me ask you, are you ready to become a cash cow? Would you like to get paid while you're spending time at your computer? Let's face it, if you're on it all the time, you might as well be earning while you're learning. You may be asking now, just how does SuccessMO.com work? SuccessMO.com is the new paradigm in social networking with big lessons and big rewards. Simply put, it is a change in the way people will learn, earn, work, and live right now and in the future. Its primary purpose is to let people become successful in whatever areas of their life that they desire. We have found that when rewarded with valuable merchandise and cash, people are motivated to continue their learning process. All you will need to do will be short lesson activities that can be articles, videos, audios, blogs, or forums. They take only a few minutes at your computer, and they will reap great rewards. At SuccessMO.com, you will never have to reinvent the wheel or anything else. We will provide you with success coaches who will motivate, encourage, and support you as you create your own SuccessMO story. And more than that, SuccessMO.com provides you with money. You'll have the opportunity to earn money while you're learning to be successful. The lesson activities at SuccessMO are from the world's foremost instructors. Our success coaches are experts in their field with proven and demonstrated experience. Many of them are authors, speakers, teachers, entrepreneurs, and successful businessmen and women. We strive to bring you success coaches with diverse backgrounds and life experiences. We continually grow our resource base of content providers to serve you continually for your development desires and needs. It is easier than you think to build your own network by just referring your associates, employees, friends, and family. Much to your amazement, SuccessMO.com will take on a virtual reality life and connect you to a global social networking experience. There are no geographic or physical limitations to this enterprise. So now it's time for you to become a SuccessMO subscriber. And always remember that on the Internet, innovation plus ideas will equal income. It's time for you to step up to the plate and hit that home run you've always been dreaming about. The timing is right for you to use your creativity and courage to start collecting the cash flow that is the future of social networking on the Internet. Yes, you deserve to be that cash cow right now. SuccessMO.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
This is January Jones welcoming you back with my co-host, Steve Craigie. Steve, give your website information one more time.
Okay, you can find my blog at chicagonow.com/youngrepublican. And if you're so social networkly inclined, you can find me at Facebook at facebook.com/Mozart-bass-baritone.
Okay, wonderful. And my website is www.januaryjones.com. Also, all of my books are available at Amazon.com, and they're available in Kindle form. So I hope you'll read them and enjoy them. Okay, now, Steve, tell me, what do you think about Jackie's private papers and these recordings that have come out recently? What's your thoughts on that?
I thought that the recordings, while they do show a lot into the inner mind of Jackie, I still feel that she kind of put the fact that she wanted to get to the public through kind of a strainer, so we only get the bare minimum of what we want, while her papers exemplify the hidden secrets that we do want, but the Kennedys and now the living ones, especially her daughter Caroline, are kind of keeping an iron lock on everything that could be pertained as negative in the publicity area, so they keep it away from us. So I think we're still waiting for those true facts to come out.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was devastated when I realized that these papers had been edited. And, of course, I don't think Jackie intended that to happen because she originally had said she wanted these papers sealed for 80 years. Caroline has even commented that her mother would have liked them sealed for 100 years. And I think that it was because she didn't want the Kennedy history to be rewritten, which I think has probably happened. I think that Caroline has stepped in and revised history, so to speak. What do you think?
I think it's terrible that she would do such a thing as that because she's deleting the truth from what her mother wrote. The Kennedy theorists are just going to keep coming up with more and more untruth. So if she ever wanted the real truth to come out, even if it was devastating to her family image and her mother's memory, at least we would know the truth and not the myth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Caroline was protecting her grandfather's legacy, Joe Kennedy, because I think Jackie kind of, you know, I was hoping that when her papers were opened, I actually even wrote a movie script called 2044, Jackie's Story, and I set this movie in the future. And her papers were being auctioned off, of course, because the Kennedys auction off everything. And my feeling was that in 2044, Jacqueline Kennedy would step to the forefront, and we would see that she was the dominant, significant, the most forceful Kennedy of the last century. Because when we look at his presidency, it was just 3 years, and his brother Bobby, he was not that active politically that long. But Jackie, she was very involved for the entire last century, and I think she was a brilliant woman, and she cared very much about her children. She was a woman who swam with sharks, and when all was said and done, she was the last one left. Plus, interestingly enough, she had all the money, and at that time she had the love and respect of most of the world when she died. It was quite a tragedy when she passed.
I
feel that we've been cheated a little bit with these papers being opened. I listened to the recordings that she did and that they published, and wow, it was very, it was sad because you see how young she was. And I want any of our listeners who are interested in this topic to read Vanity Fair's issue. And Christopher Hitchens writes a fantastic article, and it's called Widow of Opportunity. And this author, he sees a different Jackie than we've been presented. He sees a savvy, manipulative, and he sees her lacking class for which she was so admired. Some of the things she revealed in these tapes were unfortunate. And he says that if the subject were being a major player in establishing the popular reputation of the Kennedy administration, that would be a different story. With amazing professional velocity, Jackie seized control of the image-making process and soon had an entire cadre of historians and super journals honing and burnishing the script. She rewrote history in those months after the assassination when she created Camelot. There's no question about it.
Yeah. I like the fact that you bring up this article because he talks about, you know, showing a different side of Jackie, but I think it's kind of funny that every biography I read of Jackie has a different image of her. I mean, you read your book and you see the kind of desperate side of her. You look at Kitty Kelly's biography, you see the kind of neurotic woman who was just trying to get ahead. And you read, say, Edward Klein or Christopher Anderson's book, and you see this kind of more placated side. And then there are books that are written just about her glow style, her glamour. So every book that's written about her has a different image of her. So in between all of these images, it's kind of hard to find the real Jackie.
Right. She was a woman for all seasons, And she knew what she was doing. She was brilliant. She was in a tough spot. The times were different then, and she had to do what she had to do to survive. She loved her children above all else, and she was an amazing mother. They came first in her life before any of her husbands or lovers. The fact of the matter was that as a Kennedy widow, she was broke and desperately needed to get her own money. Onassis knew all of this, and he took advantage of a situation that he could not resist. She needed cash, and he needed class. They were perfect for each other. So there's the tragic love triangle theory. We've laid it all out for everyone, Stephen. What else do you have to say in closing?
Well, I just think that, you know, on this day, we should look at JFK and Jackie and all of the things that they have done to the country that are both good, that are both that desire a need for criticism. So I think on a day that marks, you know, his assassination, we should all take our own special time and think about what this whole Kennedy clan and Onassis and Maria Callas, what they have all meant to our lives and how they have passed through our lives, what we've learned about them. We should kind of reflect on the lessons that we can learn from such a tragic yet inspirational story.
Yeah, and you know what? I think we always, when we go back into history, we see that history repeats itself over and over and over, and throughout history, so many lives have been lost in the name of love, power, and money. And this happens over and over. People sometimes ask me why, if I would write fiction, and I'd say, well, no, because nonfiction, you don't get any more. It doesn't get better than nonfiction. It's fantastic reading, no matter who you are.
Yes, exactly. In fiction, you can imagine the face, but in nonfiction, you have the person standing there right in front of you almost, so you could see the true person there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, this has been fantastic, and we'll do it again. I want to book you for next November 22nd, 2012. I want you to put that on your calendar, and we'll talk Kennedys. Thank you so much. And for my listeners, tune in tomorrow, Wednesday at 12 noon, when my guests will be two more success coaches. I'll be hosting Michelle Blood, the author of Become a Magnet to Money Through the Sea of Unlimited Consciousness, and Debbie Pokornik, author of Breaking Free of Parenting Pressures, Debbie. I'm going to look forward to presenting these two fascinating young ladies. They will amaze, amuse, and astonish you. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday and Wednesday live or catch any of our interviews with constant streaming at Blog Talk Radio 24/7. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener. All your comments are welcome. If you're interested in checking out our SuccessiMo.com program, go to our website, www.successimo.com. Look it over, and you can sign on without any obligations whatsoever. My sponsor email is januaryjonesinfo@gmail.com. I would love to mentor you and help you get started so you can learn, earn, and return as you play it upward. So again, Stephen, I want to thank you so much, and promise me you'll come back.
Yes, thank you. And I want to wish our listeners a happy Thanksgiving Thursday, and a you know, reflect and be happy about that time. So thank you for having me on the show also. It's been great fun.
Oh, and I'm so thankful for your friendship, and I love working with you. For my listeners, so now, stop whining, start smiling, start sharing Successimo with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. You can have chocolate after your Thanksgiving dinner. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me on January's journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own Successimo story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others, and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you learn while you earn with us and January Jones, sharing Successimo Stories.